Americans that are now invested in this election, record numbers turning out. The president needs to tread very carefully, because any statement he makes could be interpreted in a number of ways, and it could literally spill out onto the streets. We've already seen incredibly chaotic scenes over the summer, of course.
We sure have, Richard. We'll talk about that a little bit right after you bring us the tweets on this story.
Sure, some very interesting reactions online. Let's go first to the neglectful Gardner on the Twitter sphere, who says, "So Trump is barricading the White House, preparing to claim victory early and challenge everything in the courts. He's a bully. Threatening is what he does best. If he loses, he will slink away like a bully as well." Of course, there have been whispers that Donald Trump is going to contest many of the votes potentially, which may come in late. And we also have a reaction here from Shredded Tweet, who says, "It's going to come down to how brazenly corrupt Trump can be, and that's a lot. Expect him to declare victory early, followed by his armed minions turning up to prevent votes being counted in various states, plus him going to court, fireworks, basically." So there's, again, the potential for already an incredibly difficult process to be frustrated further by Trump's statement, if he does indeed do this.
Moving on to your second story, Trump saying that there could be violence in the streets following the election. You're looking at the images coming out of the U.S. We're looking at, for example, in Washington, how they're boarding up windows in anticipation of something like that happening. It looks very serious, Richard.
Well, again, it seems like a statement of the obvious to say there's the potential for violence. But again, Donald Trump, with his record of making potentially inflammatory statements, knows very well what he's saying. And of course, you've got the obvious armed groups, the Boogaloo Boys, the Proud Boys. But of course, there's lots of other factions of armed militia just ready to go. And some might say, Saeed, that whether or not Donald Trump wins, his base is mobilized, they're ready to go. And so we'll see how it pans out. But America's essentially on a kind of political tightrope right now. And I think a lot of how this may pan out is really going to depend on the kind of early projections that we see. But of course, there are many millions of votes to be counted, especially through the postal process. And so, you know, the wrong kind of statement here or there before
and
this
and
process
a lot of those
carried
votes,
out.
Richard, millions of those votes won't be counted until after Election Day, and that is where the problem lies.
Exactly, and of course, if you need a semblance of democracy, many would argue you need a president keeping a cool head, making the right kind of statements. And of course, with the very volatile situation in the U.S., if these kinds of things are to transpire, you're going to see ordinary people feeling the brunt of this. Of course, I would say that, you know, through the lens of Black America, for example, they have already been dealing with violence on the streets in the form of an increasingly militarized police force. And of course, Donald Trump not only made any statements against that, he's actually conflated, for example, right-wing militia groups and elements with the left-wing in all of its forms. So some would say Donald Trump knows very well what he's doing, and I'm afraid some people will really see this kind of statement of the obvious, the potential for violence, again, as a green light from Donald Trump. And again, you know, we're going to see in the days and weeks how this pans out. But of course, to get the actual result, we're talking potentially weeks. And so, you know, the words from the president, whatever he tweets, is going to have a very real direct impact to what's happening in the United States.
And what has the online reaction been to this, Richard?
Pretty big reaction to this story, as you'd imagine. Let's go first to a tweet from IJ, who simply says, "Shouldn't Donald Trump be doing all he can to stop violence?" And of course, many would say his statements have been the polar opposite to bringing about a calm situation in the U.S. And we have a tweet here from Anne Connolly, who says, "Trump warns of violence in the streets. Some will undoubtedly take that as an order from their leader, as Trump very well knows." And I can't really say this is the exception to the rule. I've seen so many tweets alluding to this, Saeed, basically saying Trump knows very well what he's doing. And of course, you know, his words could be interpreted in the wrong way very, very easily in what is proving to be the most controversial election in many, many years.
The most controversial election in many years, indeed. Richard Sudan with those stories. Richard, thank you. And that does it for this broadcast from London, everyone. See you soon. We'll be right back.
in the limelight.
The world's largest banks in 2019 provided more than $2.6 trillion in loans and underwriting to economic sectors linked to the global biodiversity crisis, while doing little to monitor, let alone curb, damage to life-sustaining ecosystems. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Kenny Stencil Ryder. This article is published under the heading Bankrolling Extinction. Report shows big banks lent over $2.6 trillion to fund global biodiversity destruction in 2019. Here's the details of this article. The world's largest banks in 2019 provided more than $2.6 trillion in loans and underwriting to economic sectors linked to the global biodiversity crisis, while doing little to monitor, let alone curb, damage to life-sustaining ecosystems. That's according to Bankrolling Extinction, a new report published recently by Portfolio Earth, an initiative seeking to challenge the financial industry's role in ecological devastation. The analysis was described as a frightening statement of the status quo by Dr. Robert Wasten, former chair of both UN's Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, that is IPBES, and Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC. Mark Campolone, founder and executive chair of the Carbon Tracker Initiative, said in a statement released recently that this report reminds us that there is no time to lose for governments and financial regulators to create an appropriate rules-based system to oversee and ensure that banks cannot continue to finance this corporate planetary plunder unconstrained and unnoticed. Environmental destruction, the report authors wrote, can no longer be seen as an unfortunate byproduct of economic development. Rather, the COVID-19 pandemic has demonstrated that healthy, biodiverse environments underpin the functioning of our health, societies, and economies. Researchers found that 50 global banks invested more than the entire GDP of Canada in the food, forestry, mining, fossil fuels, infrastructure, tourism, transport, and logistics sectors, activities that IPBES has identified as the major drivers of biodiversity loss. The top 10 offenders were Bank of America, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Mizuho Financial, Wells Fargo, BNP Paribas, Mitsubishi UFJ Financial, HSBC, MSBC Group, and Barclays. Moreover, the report notes that none of the banks assessed had sufficient systems in place to monitor or measure the impact of their loans on biodiversity loss, nor do they have comprehensive policies to halt it. According to the authors, private financial institutions on Wall Street and elsewhere are unwilling and ill-prepared to promote biodiversity, despite its significance to human life and survival, thanks in part to the fact that the regulators and rules which govern banks currently protect them from any consequences. Instead of heeding scientists' warnings about biological annihilation and its consequences, the financial sector is bankrolling the mass extinction crisis while undermining human rights and indigenous sovereignty. While governments and companies have been the focus of attention on this issue, they continued, actors in the finance sector have largely evaded scrutiny until recently, even though it is their investment decisions that shape the transformation of ecosystems. The report argues that to prevent extinction, banks have to stop funding it. To this end, the researchers call for banks to disclose and radically reduce their impact on nature and stop finance for new fossil fuels, deforestation, overfishing, and ecosystem destruction. Governments to stop protecting the role of banks in biodiversity destruction and rewrite the rules of finance to hold banks liable for the damage caused by their lending, and people everywhere to have a say in how their money is invested and a right to stop banks from causing serious harm to people and planet. Moira Berth, climate and finance director of Amazon Watch, said that if the Amazon rainforest is going to survive and if we are to have a future on this planet, financial institutions must stop funneling trillions of dollars into the very industries unabashedly driving biodiversity loss. By maintaining a global system fundamentally based on eternal economic growth and never-ending exploitation of natural elements, said Hanna Begovich of Earth Advocacy Youth, we allow for life on Earth to be considered human-owned property whose point of existence is to be exploited and commodified for human benefit and economic profit. Kai Chan, a professor at the University of British Columbia and a leading author of the IPBES Global Assessment Report, noted that a global sustainable economy sits at the center of the humanity's much-needed transformation to meet the climate and ecological crises. And at the center of that, Chan added, sit the banks and the finance institutions whose investments power development around the globe. According to Todd Poglia, executive director at the Stand.Earth, today's visionary financial institutions are those that invest in projects that regenerate our oceans, forests, and climate. We need to reverse the damage of several centuries of banks investing in the destruction of the heart, lungs, and limbs of our planet, he added, and do so in short order. Robin Smale, director of Vivid Economics, pointed out that the current legal system protects banks from responsibility and liability and therefore reduces their business incentive to help address damaging activities. Smale argued that removing these legal protections would force banks to more systematically address the biodiversity impacts of their financing and transform activities across major supply chains. Imagine a world, said Chan, in which projects can only raise capital when they have demonstrated that they will contribute meaningfully and positively to restoring the planet's bounty and a safe climate for all. That's the future this report envisions and builds toward, he concluded.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
جهان ما ضبط صوت بزرگی است که صدای ما را هر کلمه‌ای که از ما صادر شود.
The world we live in is a large recording apparatus which records our voice. Every word of it.
One of the most outstanding features about him is that he cared for the humanity, and he mentioned this all the time and said لأجل الإنسان, because of the humanity.
Well, within the social activities we can count one of his greatest thing that he started when he went back to Lebanon, and that was the dialogues between the different religions and تقريب المذاهب. And that's how we see, like, he was very close to the youth as well, because he used to visit the church as well and the different
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. I am Atta, the host of the program The Teacher, which is an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim thinkers, philosophers, theologians and jurisprudents all across the nation of Islam, with the presence of two religious experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Dr. Murtaza Rezazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to your show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. And Dr. Rezazadeh, assalamu alaikum, brother, welcome to your show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
So in the first series, we dedicated the program, The Teacher, to the thoughts and works of the outstanding Shia Muslim cleric, philosopher, theologian, Shahid Murtaza Mutahhari. But from this episode onward, inshallah, we want to talk about another outstanding figure regarding, we can say, Islamic theology and jurisprudence and also philosophy, the Lebanese-Iranian philosopher and religious jurisprudent Musa Assad, mainly known as Sayyid Musa Assad or Imam Musa Assad. He was born in the city of Qom in Iran. He was considered as one of the greatest scholars, Muslim scholars and preachers of his time. His activities were not limited only to Iran, but he had massive, we can say, presence in Lebanon, and especially for the Muslim and Shia population of the Lebanon. And we can say, unfortunately, it has been recorded that on August 31, 1978, just 1 year before the Islamic Revolution of Iran took place, he disappeared in Libya. If he is alive, may Allah give him health, and if he passed away, may he rest in peace. And this is still not clear whether he passed away or he is alive. Imam Musa Assad. So, Dr. Rezazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's listen to one short part of a Farsi audio file of Sayyid Musa Assad, and then we will continue our discussion with an elaboration on his speech. Let's listen to that and we'll be back.
همه چیز محفوظ می‌ماند تا روز حساب.
Everything will be kept intact until the Day of Judgment, by which I do not merely mean the Day of Reckoning, or the day where there are divine punishments and awards, but the day when an account of life will be considered too. Let us assume two people passing the same path. The first one takes a step and sometimes stops, sometimes goes to sleep, and some other time makes a return, or occasionally takes a nap and moves slowly, while the second one does not waste an hour and moves fast towards his goal. It is obvious that the second one will reach his destination sooner, with the first one never reaching his destination or too late.
Welcome back, dear listeners of iRab English Radio. What you listened to was Imam Musa Sadr talking about an interesting topic along with English translation. I want to get straight to Dr. Rezazadeh. Okay, Dr. Rezazadeh, I would like you to talk a little bit about this recording feature of, we can say, actions. Sometimes the people say, and the youth might say that, okay, if every actions of ours is recorded, and God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is witnessing us, as Sayyid Musa Sadr says, okay? So, on that time, they become conservative, and they don't want to express themselves out loudly, or maybe their emotions. And at the same time, there is a power who knows what is happening inside us. So, he knows what we are doing, and we know ourselves. So, what is the need to be active? Let's have our own life, enjoy the environment around us, enjoy the media, do not have any activity or do not use our thoughts and works, you know, in this world. So what's your opinion on that, brother?
You know, one of the very good arts of Imam Musa Sadr is that he, in his different lectures, he tries to make a balance between dunya and akhirah, this world and the other world. Mm-hmm. And he tries to give the youths a good way of understanding the relationship between dunya and akhirah. One of the problems and one of the misunderstandings that many people have is that when we say you need to be a good person and work for the other world, for your hereafter or akhirah, it means that you need to compromise all your joys and all your worldly life. You need to ignore everything that you, your entertainment, and just focus on the day of judgment and all the maybe punishments or the rewards that you're going to receive on the day of judgment. And this is one of the big misconceptions that we have and still remaining in the minds of many people, not only regular people, but also some of the scholars. Sure. And also we have the very extreme examples of that in some of the religious denominations, for example, in some of the monastic traditions, especially right. In Christianity, we yes. see that they have made a mistake somehow, if we can say it that way, in understanding the relationship between that world and this world. And they think that having a good life in the other world, which is actually and truly the main and the ultimate goal of our lives, it requires us to compromise all our joys and all the different aspects of this worldly life. And this is wrong. This is wrong because the relationship between these two worlds is in a way that this world is actually a path for the other right. world. In order for you to have a good life in the other world, you need to make it here. Mm-hmm. And in order to have a good life here in this world, you need to have a balanced life. It does not mean that your body, for example, is not important. Our body is important because it is our means to make our soul. If we want to somehow grow our soul and our spirit, we need to use all the powers that God the Almighty has given us, including our body. And this body has different needs. Uh-huh. One of the needs that this body has is to have, for example, breaks and entertainment. Yes. But still, very importantly, it needs to be in a balanced amount.
But Sayyid Musa Sadr still is criticizing this lavish life. I mean, the freestyle lavish life, which is followed in the liberalism nowadays.
Exactly.
Absolutely be free. So Sayyid Musa and radicalism on both sides is wrong. So we have one type of the religious people around the world who say, live this world and only think about al-akhirah and leave dunya. we can say. And from the other side, we have some people, especially in the Western type of, we can say, philosophy of life, that they say that this world that we are living in is everything. So we can say, try to enjoy it as much as possible and try to experience everything. And this sentence that let's experience everything at least one time, we can say, is nowadays among the youth, brother. But according to Sayyid Musa Asad, Al-Dunya Nazratul Akhira, you reap what you sow. So not only in the other world, but in this world, you reap what you sow in this world. Explain a little bit more for us.
Well, obviously, we being a Shia and the followers of Imams, usually it is called that we have a saying from the Imam regarding these radical thinkings that are. And it is al-amr bayn al-amrain. The best thing is to do something which is the middle path of this. Neither you go that way, neither you go this way. You should stay in the middle, because the straight path is in the middle, not on the left or right. Correct. If you walk straight, if you turn to right, then you're deviated from the right path, the path that you're, the journey that you're going. If you go to the left, it's the same case. So you need to stay in the middle of this, having the world and the akhirah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said that you should not enjoy this world or you should not enjoy in this world, because this world is a tool in order to reach to that world, to hereafter, to get the we can say like the enjoyments that are in hereafter. For that I can give the example of the students who prepare themselves for the medical universities, like in order to enter the medical college, they prepare, they don't go to the parties, for example, they do not spend that much time as generally the other people do. They have a goal, they need to reach there. For that, they also eat, they also watch movies.
That's right.
For example, they're having entertainment, but
yes,
to a limit.
They do exercise, that's right.
They do exercise, okay. They have all these things, the sports, but there is a limitation.
That's right.
According to that, the limitation, they limit it to a point that is necessary for their body. Mm-hmm. So they can refresh themselves.
That's
and
right.
Then continue studying or the work that they were doing. So in this world, we should live like this.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, being slow does not mean like you're something backward, mm-hmm. for example. If you're moving towards your aim, that is important. And the example that Shahid Sa- the Imam Musa Sad is giving about this life, and he talks about the two people.
That's right.
One is he sleeps and runs,
yes,
and then sleeps and eats, and then sometimes he works. And the other who is constantly working on, he's spending each and every second of his life towards the goal that he has, he's more successful. And for that, I just remembered of a story that we used to read in the school. And that was the story of Rabbit and Turtle.
I don't know
if you have
heard
it.
Rabbit and Turtle story, yes.
It's a very famous story that Rabbit, because he knew that he's fast,
mm-hmm.
he ran, he has a competition with the turtle
to
reach to a specific point. So Rabbit, before reaching the specific point, he slept on the way and he said, like, I'm faster than him. Even if he reaches to me,
okay,
I can run and go. But he remained asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And Turtle, slow and steady,
past the finish line.
Yeah, and that's the word, like, slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah.
You need to stick, even if you are slow.
Okay.
But the point is, if you stick to the aim,
mm-hmm.
then you get the benefit.
This is what I mean by balance,
okay,
because we know that, you know, a balanced Muslim understanding is that the ultimate goal is the hereafter.
Mm-hmm.
For that ultimate goal, I need to work in this world,
okay,
in a way that that ultimate goal is achieved,
okay,
but at the same time, this worldly life is not ruined, actually.
Okay.
Because if I ruin this worldly life, I will not be able to
mm-hmm.
make the other life.
Yeah.
So this is like a path for the other life. And balance means that you need to look at this world in a way that you take advantage of all the possibilities and all the opportunities
That's
that
right.
God has given you,
mm-hmm.
In a way that you do not waste them,
yes,
but at the same time you do not forget that you have been created for a higher goal,
higher
or,
goal
or an ultimate end in life. If we do not forget that destination and at the same time work on this world, okay, then we will be able to achieve a type of balanced life in this life.
That's right, right.
And that's it. You know, if I believe in that, I will start acting properly. It does not mean you do not enjoy your life.
Yes.
Enjoy your life, but in a proper way.
So when a child can control me,
yeah,
so let alone to Allah subhanahu
and
wa ta'ala.
And the reason
good,
that we forget that is that we do not have a proper faith, mm-hmm, in that omniscient, omnipotent,
yes,
God. If we know that God is watching me and the only thing that he wants me is to be a proper person, I will do I will act accordingly.
Yes.
Yeah, but we forgetful people usually do not pay enough attention to this reality.
That's all right.
And obviously the actual word is the hereafter.
That's all right.
And that is the thing which we need to remember. Mm. That the actual destination is the hereafter. It's not this world.
Right.
For example, we are the we are the travelers of,
yeah,
this world.
Yeah.
For example, if you imagine if a person is traveling to another city, for example, for the summer vacations, if he takes all his money with him, all the things that he had, for those 3 months he goes to a place, he buys a house there, he gets all the facilities that he wants, cars and everything. And then after that, when he starts living there for 3 months, after 3 months, he now needs to come back,
yes,
to the original destination where he was. Now, for such a person, we say he has wasted his money. Mm-hmm. He's not working logically, because the actual destination was his back home.
That's all right.
Not the place where he went for the vacations. Why he took all his things, all his wealth and property with him, mm-hmm, to the vacation. This,
okay,
is illogical.
That's all right.
Same is the case here. We have come from somewhere, mm-hmm, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and we need to go to somewhere else.
That's right.
This world is just the path. This,
that's
is
right,
the vacation that we have, but obviously we need to enjoy to the amount that has been allowed in Islam.
In Islam, that's right. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Rezazadeh and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, for a nice elaboration on this part of the speech of Sayyid Musa Assad. It was very kind of you. We'll continue, inshallah, our discussion in upcoming sessions of the program, The Teacher, with the other important speeches of Sayyid Musa Assad, also known as Imam Musa Assad. Dear listeners of iRab English Radio, thank you very much, too, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Please visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Kalav Islam page. You can download for free all of our previous episodes of the program, The Teacher, and also visit our YouTube page, Kalav Islam Radio. To another episode and the continuation of the thoughts and works of Sayyid Musa Assad, fi aman Allah, God bless you all.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and as food for thought today, we present you a hadith or narration from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, of how best to educate your children so that they will be successful in this world and in the afterlife. Teach your children 3 habits: to love your Prophet, to love his Ahlul Bayt, and to recite the Holy Quran. Because the carrier of the Quran will be in the shade of Allah along with his Prophet and the chosen ones, that is, the Ahlul Bayt, on the day when there will be no shade except that of Allah.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and this is today's special for you. Today we're going to speak about Islam. Islam, a message of peace.
Rasulullah, Habiballah, Rasulullah, Habiballah.
Today, Wednesday, is the 18th of the month of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we open the main page of today's special by recitation of the Holy Quran. We listen to Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 130 to 132.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه ولقد اصطفيناه في الدنيا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ
And who would be averse to the religion of Abraham except one who makes a fool of himself? And we had chosen him in this world, and indeed he in the hereafter will be among the righteous.
إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ
When his Lord said to him, Submit, he said, I have submitted in Islam to the Lord of the worlds.
وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ.
And Abraham instructed his sons to do the same, and so did Jacob, saying, O my sons, indeed Allah has chosen you for this religion. So do not die except while you are Muslims.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
From the totality of these words, it is concluded that this great apostle can be a good model for all the truth seekers throughout the world, and his school of thought can be an instruction guideline for all human beings. The entirety of Abraham's deeds, Prophet Ibrahim, throughout his life were unique. One of his expressions of faith was through his challenge with idol worshippers and star worshippers. Another was then, while in the midst of fire, he showed such a strength of faith that his hostile enemy, Nimrod, was so affected by him that he unwillingly said, if a person wants to take a god, he should take one similar to the God of Abraham.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha shafa'atan.
Islam, an all-embracing religion. This is the title of this part. Dear brothers and sisters, the most important invisible symbol of Islam is the mosque, that is God's house. However, God's presence is not confined to this physical structure, but permeates every aspect of life. And the mosque is not merely a place of worship, but a place of learning and interaction among the ummah. In the old days, the mosque was a center of learning as in Andalusia, Egypt, and Iran. It was also a social and charitable entity. It is also not exclusive to Muslims, but also allows people from other religions to engage in social and intellectual discussions. Islam does not discriminate against believers of other religions. It is a religion of justice and tolerance, as exemplified by the verses in the Holy Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Holy Quran instructs Muslims in this way. The Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the context of the Holy Quran, addresses the Prophet Muhammad regarding his defense preparations, that in case you notice that your enemy has some inclination, has a real inclinations toward maintaining peace, you are also expected to favor peace. وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. In case they favor peace, then feel the peace, then you should feel the peace. وتوكل على الله. You have to rely on the help and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إنه هو السميع العليم. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-hearing and all-knowledgeable. We find that the Holy Quran, I mean as the intact word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never imposes the Islamic religion on other people. I mean, accepting the Islamic religion as one's religion is left to the individual decision of people. The Holy Quran says in this way, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, La ikraha fi al-deen, qad tabayyan al-rushd min al-ghayy. There's no imposition, there's no force in accepting the religion, the Islamic religion. قَدْ تَبَيَّنُ الرُّشْدُ مِنْ الْغَيْبِ. Because the wrong way has already been clearly distinguishable from the wrong way.
We follow a part entitled Amazing Tips to Become a Better Muslim. Okay, today we go for avoiding loneliness. This is a major problem in the community. We are lonely. The best thing we can do to fight the feeling of loneliness is to spend as much time as possible with good company. Having dinner with people a few nights a week is a sure way to maintain a good attitude. The practice of becoming a nun or a monk is a lion to Islam. We are social creatures and Islam recognizes this. Try not to lock yourself again in your apartment to avoid the world. This will just cause a vicious cycle that will cause deep depression and can lead to searching for solace in haram. That means unlawful. Make it an obligation on yourself to remain a sociable human being. It takes a lot of work, but the result is happiness and contentment in life.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you. You are my one true love, taught me to never judge. Now all I want is to be with you.
You are following today's special and things you need to know to understand Islam. Today we learn there are five pillars of Islam, and Islam has different sects. The five pillars of Islam are believed to be the most important aspects of the religion that all Muslims strive to follow. They are Shahada, that means the belief in Islam, Salat, the five daily prayers, Zakat, giving to charity, Saum, that means fasting, and Hajj, that is pilgrimage to Mecca, at least once in a lifetime. Do you know that Islam has different sects? While the two largest sects are the Sunni branch and the Shia branch, there are many other inside the religion of Islam. Each different school of thought has different customs, belief in the history of Islam, and even ways of praying. Although each branch has its differences, everyone is still Muslim and believes in God, the Quran, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny.
Allah puts the mustad'afin, the ones who are oppressed, at the same level with himself. He says, why don't you defend Allah when Allah is being attacked, when you are being attacked? مَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرَّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ. Allah puts the mustad'afin, the weak, the oppressed, at the same level of himself. Meaning that this religion cares about the oppressed. Just like you fight for Allah, just like you fight when Allah asks you to, you also have to defend the oppressed. You have to defend the weak. This is what the religion teaches us. This is human rights. Today, you see the United Nations, when they see a group of people, they're oppressed in a country in Africa. Even in Lebanon, there's United Nations. You see them, when they see there's people that are oppressed in that land, they go in that land and they defend the people, or they start fighting in that land. The United Nations are doing that. This is something that the United Nations are doing right now. The religion of Islam told us to defend the weak 1400 years ago. When you see someone being oppressed, you have to defend him. This is human rights. The religion of Islam teaches us to care about people, even if they're non-Muslims. We are ordered to think and care about the weak, the ones who are oppressed. We have to defend them.
Mustafa, Mustafa.
We continue this interesting topic, inshallah, in another episode of today's special. So be with us tomorrow. Fi amanillah.
And hearts frozen from you, Allah, came a prophet chosen, blessed prophet Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us the things we are to do. Muhammad, ya Rasul Allah, Muhammad, ya Habib Allah, Muhammad.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.